Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And good Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to Catch Our Drift. Joining me in studio, Ed Bondarenka. Ipsy Ed, welcome aboard.
Hey, happy new year.
Hey, glad to have you aboard, man. It's our last show of the year. It's our New Year's Eve show. So New Year's Eve to everybody. Happy New Year's to everybody. And glad we get to do this. I think about every 7 years, maybe, we'll get a chance to do New Year's Eve. So this is
I barely remember our Christmas show.
That was 2 weeks ago. And I did an off-site show last week for the Red Nation Rising.
Yep.
And if you don't catch the show live here at Wham! Talk 1600, you can catch it Saturday and Sunday evenings at rednationrising.us. So make sure you check them out. And, of course, Rao is available on Spreaker, SoundCloud, YouTube, and archived, of course.
Links are on Facebook.
That's right.
Facebook,
I'm there. And thedailydrift.com. So what we do every Saturday here is go over the news of the week that I put up on thedailydrift.com. And if you're not going there, you should. www.thedailydrift.com. It's the news you need to know. Make sure you're getting out there and checking it out. So let's take care of a little business this half hour. It's brought to you by Brighton Ford. Now, I've bought about 6 cars from Brighton Ford and had great service, and they do some great service specials, tire rotations, works coupons for $30, 10% off parts. And you can catch those coupons at Brighton Ford up in Brighton, Michigan at brightonford.com, or go to currentonline.com. There's on the back page we have a full set of coupons. Just print it off and take it in. They'll take those too. But you can reach them at 1-800-494-2175. That's 800-494-2175. Brighton Ford. Todd and Scott Spittler run a great dealership, and they sell more than just Fords. They do a lot of used vehicles there too. So check them all out. They're great. And do it. BrightonFord.com. Okay. So, Ed, Happy New Year. I want to tell everybody, you know, let's have a great incoming new year. But I do want to say this. You know what, folks? If you're out at a public place anywhere in the nation or around the world, please beware of your surroundings. You know, don't get all hammered and sloppy and forget about where you are. You know, it's a dangerous world. And so we should take, especially for anyone overseas, right? Because ISIS has already said many, many times, and Al-Qaeda too, you know, we're going to be looking to gang up on some foreigners anywhere. And this time last year, I think in Berlin and some other Cologne. It was Cologne in Germany, right?
Yeah.
A lot of women got raped, you know, and assaulted last year. So just think of your surroundings, folks. I don't care if you're in Detroit or New York or Berlin or Rome or wherever. Just beware of your surroundings. And you know what? Somebody once told me, always have yourself an out. You know what I mean? Always know where your exits are. Always know, and keep, you know, it doesn't take but a few moments of calculation on your part to think, if I need to get out of this room, how am I going to get out?
And when you meet somebody, smile, be pleasant, and have a plan to kill them.
Who's that? Mattis, right?
Yeah.
Mad Dog Mattis, yes. Well, Derek, let's start with track one, because in Europe, they are preparing, because there have been a lot of threats. Go ahead and throw track one up. Let's listen to that.
Barricades are going up in Berlin ahead of New Year's, just a week after the city suffered a deadly attack by Islamic State. Officials have already closed Pariser Platz Square near the Brandenburg Gate, where an extra 1,700 police officers will be on patrol. Organizers say they're confident they'll ring in 2017 safely.
The security concept is very comprehensive, and if you visit, you will probably be in one of the safest places in Germany tomorrow night.
The attack last week left 12 people dead and prompted greater calls for stepping up security. Brussels is also following suit. The city suffered from attacks in March when Islamist suicide bombers killed 16 people. Now, city officials and New Year's organizers are not taking any chances.
Obviously, the police will be there in numbers, and as in other European capitals, we will work with a system of blocks. When one block is full, it will be closed to avoid having too many people in the same place.
Officials had debated canceling New Year fireworks in Brussels, but decided they would go ahead.
Okay, so just something to be thankful, you know, of what's going on out there, and enjoy your New Year. So I don't know that I'm doing anything other than watching some TV tonight. You know, put on a good movie and then catch the ball drop whenever, if I stay awake that long.
There you go. I'm watching the inside of my eyeballs at midnight.
You know, the last few years, it's just like, you know, making it, I'm falling asleep on the couch. You know, I just don't like going out anymore. You know what I mean? I don't like the feel of driving. I don't like the crowds, the whole nine yards. So it kind of bothers me a little bit. But anyways, well, I wanted to start with something real quick here, so not to get people bored, but locally here in Michigan, and it's not just local because it made the Wall Street Journal, I think, and a couple other sites, the WAPO site, I think, made it, about a Michigan ban on plastic bag bans by local governments. Did you read this?
No, that's okay. News to me.
All right, so Wednesday of this week, Washtenaw County, that's where we reside. That's Ann Arbor, Michigan, right? Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is the touchy-feely, we always joke about it. People's Republic of Ann Arbor, right? The greenest of weenies here in Ann Arbor. The county commission went out and put a 10-cent charge fee on every paper and plastic grocery bag that you would buy groceries with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trying to force you to bring in your little, you know, bring in your own bags or pay a fee, 10 cents, right?
Or buy their bags.
Yeah, buy their bags. They're going to charge you 10 cents, paper
no,
or plastic.
No, I mean, they have the little green-friendly bags,
yes,
you know.
The enviro-friendly, And some people do that, and that's great. You know, most of the time, I don't have to. I'd stop in, I'm buying something, and I'm walking out. I didn't plan on going grocery shopping. That's not the way I am. And so they're going to charge 10 cents, and it didn't matter. This is really going to hurt probably poor people more than anyone else, because I'm sure poor people have enough going on in their lives. They're not worrying about enviro-friendly issues. You know what I mean? They're worried about putting food in the mouths of their children. They're not worried about an environmentally friendly bag and a way to get their Twinkies or groceries or whatever home, you know, from the store. And so they went ahead and passed it 6-2. And Dan Smith, God love him, was the Republican who voted no. And the other guy was, I can't remember his name. He was a Democrat. But he was like for it, but it wasn't strict enough for him. That's why he voted no on it. So Dan Smith, thank you very much. He's our outgoing county commissioner, Republican. And he is one of the few guys on that board in Washtenaw County that has any common sense whatsoever. But the lead of the Washtenaw County Commission said, you know, we've had people spending months and months trying to put this legislation together for this 10-cent bag deposit. And I'm thinking to myself, really? And even in their meeting before they passed it, they knew the state of Michigan already had something on the table that they were going to ban these plastic bag bans, right? So why in God's name would you spend all this money having county employees researching and developing legislation that you know the state is going to probably give you the big thumbs down to anyways, right?
Well, you know, that's what they're good at is meddling in your life.
Meddling in our lives, wasting our money.
Yep.
And you know what? For God's sakes, Washtenaw County, stop voting these Democratic pinheads into office who are worrying about, you know what? There are bigger issues to worry about besides plastic bags. I'm sorry. You know, don't tell me these plastic, you know what? You crush them up really small. I do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I take them down to like the, we have a couple of daycares in our town. The ladies at the daycare are like, bring me those bags. We wrap the diapers up in them so it keeps
my
smell.
My wife folds
you know,
them up neatly. We have a storage place, and
yes.
If we get too many, they go in another plastic bag, and that plastic bag goes back to Meyer's where they recycle them.
Yes, or you can put them in the plastic recycling bin yourself.
There you
but
go.
Are you kidding me? You want to put a whole – and here's the catch. So 20% of that fee gets to stay with the grocers to handle their costs. 80 cents goes back to the county. So it's just another way to get money for the county.
Yep. Yep. Well, Yusuf Robbie is
the head of the county. Yeah. And, you know, this green douchebag, whatever the heck he is, he's just out there doing the craziest of crazy things. Stay the hell out of our lives, man. 10 cents, it's to you.
You've had too much of that good Wham coffee.
See, Drake is here, folks. Yes. You keep asking, where's Brandon? He's here. He's just had to, you know, he's laughing at me because I'm probably 12 shades of red at this point. But doggone it, just stay the hell out of our lives. We don't need you to be charging us an extra 10 cents for a grocery bag. You know, and I'm surprised the grocers in town and the Krogers and everyone else weren't just up in arms over it saying, what the heck are you talking about? That's got to be some huge cost to them to figure out. Because there you are. You get your bag. And before they can finish ringing you up and charging you out, they got to look at the grocer guy who's bagging you and saying, oh, yeah, get him for 10 bags. That's an extra dollar.
But isn't the Michigan bag ban and a ban on banning bag bans? Am I reading that correctly?
It's a ban on bag bans. Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And you know what? Why in God's name our legislature had to do this? Well, I'll tell you why they had to do it. Because there are idiot green weenies running our doggone governments. You
yep,
know?
And the seat of power is Ann Arbor.
Oh, for crying out loud. I'm sorry. I saw this, heard this on the news. You know, I'd seen the legislation. Then I heard about Washtenaw County doing this. I'm like, what kind of morons do we have here in Washtenaw County? Yusuf Rabi, you are a moron, sir. You are welcome to come on the show and talk to me about your plastic bag ban. You're a moron. There are more important things to do here. You know, why aren't you more importantly thinking about giving illegals identification? Oh, that's right. You've already done that too, haven't you? You want to talk about Washtenaw County is filled with retarded, politically retarded people. It really is.
Where's Brandon? He needs to bring your meds in here.
Gosh darn it, I just breath. Well, you know, let's take a break so I can catch my breath, because I'm kind of up. Look at me, I'm 12 shades of red right now, aren't I? Didn't plan on getting this angry, but I'm angry. Derek, let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Obama's new Cold War in 3 weeks before he leaves office. We'll get into that when we come
up. Oh, no, I'm going to get red.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll see you on the other side.
I'm Derek Stone with 60 Seconds on Sports. About 2 weeks ago, the Detroit Lions seemed destined to win the NFC North and clinch a playoff spot, but now they might be eliminated by the Green Bay Packers this Sunday night. Detroit must find a way to take the pressure off their quarterback, Matt Stafford, who has been playing with torn ligaments in his throwing hand finger. Theo Riddick and Zach Zenner will need to step up for the Lions in the running game. If Detroit is able to run the ball successfully, that is going to allow Stafford to face less pressure from the Packers' defense, and he can get back to methodically moving the offense down the field with short passes. As far as the Lions' defense is concerned, they must disguise their blitzes because Aaron Rodgers will tear them apart if he sees them coming. I'm Derek Stone, and this is my 60 Seconds on Sports.
I'm Gary Wellings, chief editor of The Current and The Daily Drift. With today's internet environment, it's easy to get information overload. The best way to process this information and cut through the internet chatter is to get your news delivered in a concise and effective manner. Get the news you need to know at thedailydrift.com. Check out The Daily Drift, one of the fastest growing websites around. At The Daily Drift, I find the local, state, national, and international stories you won't get from the mainstream media, and I make it easy for you to link to them. You'll also get original common sense opinions from local writers. You can even get a free subscription that will deliver a link to your email inbox every day for free. You'll also get instant access to all archived podcasts of The Drift Radio Show and links to the best articles, opinions, and websites. Go to www.thedailydrift.com. That's the news you'll need to know at thedailydrift.com.
I know the truth about Benghazi. I was there, fighting alongside five Americans who were all raised to believe that if you have a chance to save someone's life and you don't try, that's more criminal than anything else. So we fought for 13 hours and we saved lives. But we are not unique. We are no different than the Americans who ran back into those crumbling New York towers, or the Americans who tackled the armed terrorists on that French train, or the many faceless, nameless Americans who every day risk their lives for perfect strangers trapped in burning cars or dangerous waters. Because if they didn't, no one would. Where was that courage among the politicians who had the power to make a difference during those 13 hours in Benghazi? I am the National Rifle Association of America, and I'm freedom's safest place.
Dr. Michael Singleton offers family dentistry you can trust with over 20 years of experience in all areas of dentistry. Multiple ways to enhance your smile, from simple whitening to complete veneers, same-day crowns, laser cavity detection, preventative, restorative, and advanced cosmetic dentistry. It's tomorrow's dentistry today. Open Monday through Saturday at 7 a.m. with late evening hours to fit your schedule. Contact Dr. Michael Singleton at 1081 North Ann Arbor Street in Saline, Michigan, or call 734-429-7415 or visit them on the web at singletonsmiles.com.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Hey, and good Saturday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to catch our drift. Joining me in the studio, Ed Bondarenka. Ipsy Ed, good to have you along, man.
Good to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we got a chance. I miss it taking a week off. I really do. Even doing it the pre-record like I did last week, it's just not the same. I love being here in the studio. And Derek, whoo, love having Derek across the studio.
That was a good show last week. I listened to it.
Yeah, I've got, you know, Pat and Joe have been friends of mine forever. Yeah, and they've actually filled in for this show years ago, you know, back in the time when they had actual time. But let me take care of something here. If it's New Year's Eve, and if you haven't made plans yet, go to Burroughs Roadhouse out in West Brighton. It's on Brighton Road. You can call them 810-227-6000, 810-227-6000. Or you can go to burroughs-roadhouse.com. That's Burroughs, B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S. And what's nice, it's got the best atmosphere of just about any restaurant around. It was the actual Burroughs Corporation, like a recreational farm where people would go to from the Burroughs Corporation way back in the day. So it's really cool. Got a lot of atmosphere to it. But they're doing some New Year's Eve special here tonight. And call out and see if they haven't sold out yet. Get in there. You can reach them at 810-227-6000. Okay, so Obama's Cold War. You and I were complaining even before the show started that here's Barack Obama with 3 weeks left, right? Is he trying to start a war with Russia?
What? He has 3 weeks left. He would like it to be more than 3 weeks. He made the remarks that he could have won the last election, and maybe he was actually saying he should have won the last election. He should have been allowed to run again. That's what he seemed to be intimating. So if the guy starts a war, puts us in imperiled condition, maybe he declares martial law and extends his imperial presidency.
Yeah. You know, I would hope at that point that our
military
would say, yes. No, we're going to send a cadre of guys in there, and we're going to escort you and all your guards out, and we're going to send you to Leavenworth at that point. You know what I mean?
And still my beating heart. I'd love that. You know what? I'm all for that. Let's just do it. Obama.
Put him in an orange jumpsuit and send him to Leavenworth and let him break rocks for the next 20 years. Look, here's the thing, right? And you and I just said this during the break. You know, the FBI and the CIA have said, no, there is no. And now all of a sudden, there's all kinds of evidence, right, that there's something going on here and that the Russians did. Here's my take on it. Number one, every single country on this planet wants to affect the elections of every other country in some fashion or another, right?
Yeah, just by donating to the Clinton Foundation.
Donating to the Clinton Foundation, donating to the Clinton campaign, the Saudis affected our election more than anybody else, bar none.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Barack Obama telling illegal aliens that they can go ahead and vote affected our election by probably 3 million votes, maybe more.
I'm just glad we as a country never do that. We never meddle in other people's elections. We never unseat dictators in foreign countries we don't like. We never assassinate foreign presidencies in, like, South Vietnam or try and take out South American leaders.
Let's just go recently. How about Ukraine? Did we meddle in Ukraine? You're doggone right we did.
I think we pretty much admitted to it meddling
in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Did Barack Obama spend our tax dollars trying to keep Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel from being reelected? Yes, he did.
Yep.
That's a fact, folks. So don't tell me that the Russians are out there trying to affect. You know what? It's their job. Every other country should be trying to get the best deal or the best person elected in that other country. That's just self-preservation, for crying out loud. So this whole nonsense about the now we're finding little cookies and whatever that the Russians are responsible for this. Well, let's listen to, Derek, let's go with this track two. And you know who John McAfee is, right?
Yeah.
McAfee software, right? Antiviral software. This guy is an expert.
Murder suspect?
A whole nother show.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Let's not go there. But let's play this track, Derek. You got McAfee ready? Go ahead. And this is him talking to Larry King about the Russians allegedly hacking our election. Go ahead and play it.
Okay, well, here's the truth is, Larry, when the FBI or when any other agency says the Russians did it, or the Chinese did something, or the Iranians did something, that's a fallacy. Any hacker capable of breaking into something is extraordinarily capable of hiding their tracks. If I was the Chinese and I wanted to make it look like the Russians did it, I would use Russian language within the code. I would use Russian techniques of breaking into organizations. So there simply is no way to assign of a source for any attack. This is a fallacy. This is what the FBI and other agencies want us to believe so that they can manipulate our opinions. But I can promise you, if it looks like the Russians did it, then I can guarantee you it was not the Russians.
All right, and now that's common sense. I don't know anything about hacking. I'm far from being technologically proficient with my own websites and email, right? And I know, you know what? If you are that good at breaking in and hacking something, I'm certainly not going to leave cookies that make it look like I did it. I'm going to blame it on somebody else. I'm going to shift the blame somewhere. That's what you do. So, number one, yes, I'm sure they were trying to do something. Everybody was. I'm sure the Russians, the Iranians, the Koreans, everybody, even the Israelis, even our allies were probably trying to affect the election in some fashion or another. But to make this big smoke and mirrors about the Russian, and John McCain, you piece of human garbage. I'm gonna have investigations on the Hill next month because I want to find out what these Russians, look, you warmongering piece of garbage, stay out of it. It's none of your business. You know, it's over. It's done. She lost because she was a garbage candidate, right? Well, and they lied to us.
Like many people have said, okay, they affected the elections. They didn't hack into our voting machines. They basically, if indeed it was the Russians, somebody exposed the corruption on the left.
Yeah.
And hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Somebody
exposed it. I don't care where it came from.
Julian Assange, wherever he got his stuff from. Good.
Yeah, and he's the guy that's exposing it, and he's saying it wasn't them.
Yes.
Okay? And we've had ambassadors from other countries say it wasn't them. It was an inside leak, and we know who it was. We met them. And yet John McCain and Lindsey Graham, these two pieces of human garbage that we call rhinos, they're not even rhinos. They're Democrats in sheep clothing, right?
Yeah, there you
go. In rhino clothing. These guys want to have this giant investigation. And Paul Ryan isn't any better, right? He's kind of jumped on board, too. Well, we need to have some investigations.
Okay.
We got more important things to do, Paul. I'm sorry. Get the wall built. Stop bringing in Syrian refugees. The latest count from CNS, which I put up on thedailydrift.com, over 15,000 Syrian refugees have all come in.
That's the threat.
With little to no vetting.
That's the threat. We're worried about a threat of cyber intrusions. We have a human intrusion on a massive scale.
On a massive scale.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy is, this is what Barack Obama said when he wasn't worried about Trump winning. Derek, you got track three ready. Let's listen to Barack just a few months ago talking about alleged hacking.
No serious person out there who would suggest somehow that you could even rig America's elections. In part because they're so decentralized and the numbers of votes involved. There's no evidence that that has happened in the past or that there are instances in which that will happen this time. And so I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes. And if he got the most votes, then it would be my expectation of Hillary Clinton to offer a gracious concession speech and pledge to work with him in order to make sure that the American people benefit from an effective government. And it would be my job to welcome Mr. Trump, regardless of what he said about me or my differences with him on my opinions, and escort him over to the Capitol in which there would be a peaceful transfer of power. That's what Americans do. That's why America's already great.
Please
one
stop.
Way
make him
okay.
stop.
Make him stop.
Please make all the right, bad so- man stop talking.
Barack O'Boring Obama. Yes,
oh,
there you
man.
Go.
And, hey, but he did say, the caveat was, any reasonable person. Well, he's not a reasonable person.
Barack Obviously Obama. Not, by yeah, what he's saying
go.
Now.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll see you on the other side of the break.
People are always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Joe Chiro. The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution endorsing a ceasefire in Syria brokered by Russia and Turkey. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power.
We have voted in favor of this resolution because it strikes the right balance, cautious optimism and support predicated on hope.
The resolution's intended to jumpstart peace negotiations and allow for the rapid delivery of humanitarian aid. President-elect Donald Trump will be ringing in the new year with a bash at his Palm Beach, Florida estate.
Tonight at Mar-a-Lago, there is going to be a big party, about 800 guests invited, paying guests. Sly Stallone is going to be one of them. Fabio is going to be one of them. The featured guests, though, are, of course, the president-elect, his wife Melania, and son Barron.
Fox's Peter Ducey reporting from Palm Beach. Fox News, we report, you decide.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Battle Cry 17, sponsored by the Michigan Conservative Coalition, will kick off a Donald Trump inauguration celebration with its own black and white inauguration ball on Friday, January 20th at the Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort in Mount Pleasant. The black and white ball is part of the Michigan Conservative Coalition's two-day Battle Cry 17 event. After Battle Cry's first event last year, it was immediately established as the premier gathering of political conservatives in Michigan. You can learn more by visiting eventbrite.com/e/battle-cry-2017-tickets or email info@michiganconservativecoalition.com or by calling 248-866-2631. Save money, save water, and reduce your stormwater bill with a rain barrel. A rain barrel collects and stores rainwater from roof areas that would otherwise be lost as runoff to storm drains and streams, and water stored in a rain barrel can be used for watering flowers, gardens, trees, and shrubs, rinsing tools or muddy boots, and more. Use of rain barrels can also save you money. The Washtenaw County Conservation District offers rain barrels for sale, which are made from recycled food-grade plastic barrels. They are 55 gallons in size and come in black, gray, and terracotta colors. Support risers for the barrels and downspout diverters are also available. Also available are tumbling composters made from recycled food-grade plastic 55-gallon barrels. Rain barrels and composters are available year-round and can make great gifts for gardeners. Additional information about both the rain barrels and composters is available at the Conservation District Office, 7203 Jackson Road in Ann Arbor, or visit the website washtenawcd.org or call 734-761-6721, extension 5.
Hello, friends. I want to tell you about Japanese Auto Professional Service. I've been going to these guys since 1982, and the reason I keep going back consistently is because they're the best mechanics in Ann Arbor. They're at 563 South Main Street in Ann Arbor, 734-996-4606. Since 1979, Japanese Auto Professional Service has been taking great care of Toyota, Honda, Nissan, Subaru, Hyundai, and Kia cars. This is the place, friends. I'm Theron telling you they're my auto mechanics. They should be yours. That's Japanese Auto Professional Service, 734-996-4606.
The level underneath to talk about unimportant things.
And welcome back. Thank you for tuning in to Catch Our Drift here at WAM Talk 1600 and later tonight at rednationrising.us. So check it out. And what we do is go over the stories that we put on thedailydrift.com. Let's take care of a little business here. This half hour is brought to you by Regency of Whitmore Lake. If you're looking for some 24-hour nursing care, some subacute rehabilitation, long-term care, hospice, respite care, give Regency a call, 734-449-5504. That's 734-449-5504. 5505. I think I said four the first time. Or you can go to siennahealthcare.com, C-I-E-N-A healthcare.com. All right, 734-449-4431, actually. I'm looking at the fax number. Boy, I got it all screwed up today, don't I?
I was just thinking about what a radio voice you have, but, you know.
Yeah, until I screw it up like that. I'm going to have to make sure, cross that off. 449-4431, Regency of Whitmore. They're right down the street from my house. They put a lot of money into the place. It looks really nice. They got good people there, so check it out. They got life enrichment program and a secured memory care unit. So if you're older and you get the hip, knees, whatever done, you need some place to go.
You pointing at me? What are you pointing at?
I'm looking at you, dude. It's probably more like me than you. But so anyways, we're talking about the Barack's Cold War before the end of his term here. 3 weeks, right? 3 weeks left. And so he decides to go ahead and hurt them by throwing 35 diplomats out of the country, right? And closing two recreational compounds that he says are spy facilities. You know, when I'm looking at it with all the toys and the kid stuff out in the backyard, that's a heck of a good spy facility.
Cause spies sure got to like have it. Kids, man. Wives. That's part of the cover.
I guess. And of course, so Sergey Lavrov, who's the foreign minister for Russia, did what everyone expected him to do. He said, we need to tit for tat, we're going to go ahead and do the same, right? And that was his suggestion to Putin. And, of course, the media all jumps on. Ooh, see, now we're starting a Cold War. Yes. But, of course, oddly enough, because Putin is a much smarter man than Barack Obama, takes the high road and says, I'm not going to do what you're doing to our people on this holiday and shoving them out of the country. We're going to let it slide until Trump comes into office, and we'll work with Trump when he gets in. Takes the high road, laughs it off. And some of the tweets from the Russian embassies and whatnot about it were just hilarious. The lame duck, you saw that. I think it was the top of the Drudge Report, too. And so once again, our feckless leader, Mr. Obama, comes out looking like the complete imbecile that he is. And Putin did one up on him. He said, and all you American kids of the American people in the consulates and stuff, you can come to the Kremlin for our party, our holiday party, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
I tell you, who looks better in this deal?
Russia comes out smelling like a rose yet again. You know, it's just amazing.
They're not the warmonger.
They're winning in Syria, even if they are warmongers.
It
just looks stupid. I'm thinking, you know what, Barack, come on. Go out with a little dignity. He's walking out of office looking like a complete buffoon.
You know, you mentioned Syria, and I try and follow what's going on and who the players are, and it depends on who you read on any given day. But when I think of how Aleppo, the fall of Aleppo, and the massacre of the resistance fighters, did you see the video of where Assad's forces were actually letting the resistance fighters and their families leave on buses for other parts of Syria?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what you do? Is that a massacre? Is that what you call a massacre? Yeah.
And here's another thing. You know, the mainstream media doesn't cover it so much, but you can see it on some of the lesser websites. All the towns and people that are celebrating because they've been freed from the ISIS people and these alleged – they're all one. You can't tell me who's a good guy rebel in Syria versus somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, and I tweeted out earlier this week, let's all just step back for 1 minute and take a good long look at the Middle East, right? And for me, I hate taking this big 10,000-foot view, but this is what it is. Birthplace of mankind, right? Birthplace of civilization, Africa and the Middle East, right? Persia, you know, the Sumerians, whatever. Civilization has been there for 5,000, 10,000, whatever the archaeologists want to call it, right? But it's the crap hole of the world today.
I'm teaching
that. You have to look at what has happened where the birthplace of civilization is still today in 2017 almost, the crap hole of the world.
I'm teaching Isaiah right now in my Wednesday night Bible study. And not to go down the religious track again, but When you look at this, when you look at a book like Isaiah, and it talks about all these prophecies of what's going to happen, you have to do some study about what's happening locally. And you find out there is nothing different now. It's just one kingdom, one political power allying, shifting allegiances, pressing against this, trying to expand their influence in the Middle East, and they've been doing it for thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah, they've never grown up.
No, and they've been, and it's the slaughters. It's not necessarily a kind action. It's barbaric.
It is.
It has been.
Here's what I think: the civilized Western world and China, for whatever you want to call it, at some point you got to step back and say, listen, these people don't want our civilization. They're not ready for democracy. They really are not. They work best when they're under a dictatorship of some sort or another, a strongman, authoritarian, a tribal, whatever. Let them alone. Maybe it's time to just quarantine the Middle East. Because even in the places in the Middle East where things are beautiful, like Saudi Arabia, where the buildings are tall and huge and beautiful and everything's nice, they're still cutting the heads off people for being homosexuals.
Yeah.
They're stoning women for not wearing their hijab. They're whipping them because they drove their car without their husband's permission or went to the grocery store without having a male escort. So even in the most peaceful part of the Middle East, bad things are still happening. These people are not civilized. I'm not trying to be racist because it's got something to do with the culture, right? It doesn't matter what color those people, because there's a mixture in the Middle East. People come in every shape and color in the Middle East. There's something over there, and it's got to be, it's got to be mixed up with Islam and the culture.
You know, the best, I'm sorry, let's see, how do we say this? The best representation of civilization in the Middle East came under Ataturk, who took Turkey and made it a secular state and enforced it with the military. And then you have the Shah of Iran, the same thing. I mean, it was a Western country. It was basically a Western country in the Middle East until the fall of the Shah. And then you had Khomeini come in and all the atrocities that followed from there.
Yeah, you got to look at feminists here in this country who are very vocal and blah, 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 and calling, you know, Donald Trump a misogynist and everything else. Feminists, all I can say is go back to the 60s, the 50s, even the early 70s in Iran, in Iraq, in those countries, Afghanistan. And women were not much different than here in the West. They were wearing the same clothes. They weren't forced to wear these prehistoric hijabs and burqas, right?
Yep.
And it's literally a devolvement. They are devolving over there into this Stone Age culture where women are forced into this horrific thing. And I don't understand why liberal women here in America, the feminists, whatever happened to the National Organization of Women now? Whatever happened to them? Never see it anymore. Never hear anything from them. I'm sure they're still out there. Gloria Allred, why isn't she up in arms about the treatment of women in the Middle East under Islamic culture?
Because she'd get beheaded if she went over there talking like that.
Well, how about right here in Dearborn and other areas of the United States where women are still walking the streets in a full burqa?
Well,
and they get
say,
beaten by their husbands if they don't.
There was a downside to Iran under the Shah. They had disco.
And porn mustaches.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
I'm sure. Didn't we all at the time, you know? I think I'm going to say, you know, people will look and see pictures of me on the internet or whatever on my Twitter accounts. Right now I'm like that picture with a small lamb taped to my face because I've got the full Christmas Santa beard right now. And somehow I age 20 years when I grow a beard.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it's all right. I once you get to the certain point, you're like, I don't want to shave it off. I've worked so hard to get it. But I can't stand
it. One little clue. Just for men.
By the time I was able to grow a full beard, it was completely gray. How's that? That's not fair, man.
No,
life is not fair to people. But, well, anyway, so Barack's doing that. And at the same time that they're trying to screw up our international relations with Russia, along comes John Kerry and Barack Obama. And they go to the UN and they allow the resolution against Israel for building settlements. And
they provoked the resolution.
Well, and that's the thing, right? So he's denying it.
Yeah.
Biden's denying it. And there's all kinds of stuff. And I've got, and I put all this on the Daily Drift, folks. If you're not going to the Daily Drift, you're missing out. Biden denies lobbying foreign leaders to back anti-Israel UN resolution. Now, the Israelis are saying, we have proof. And they're not going to dump it right now because what's the point? They're just going to wait until Trump comes
Oftentimes
in.
Oftentimes you give away your sources, you give away your proof.
So. Yeah, so they're going to wait until Trump comes into office in another 3 weeks, and they're going to say, look, this is what you guys did to us. Can you please try and make up for it in some fashion or another? I mean, when I listened to his speech, I was home. I listened to the full hour diatribe of John Kerry, Lurch.
You're a better man than I. The things you'll do for your listeners and readers.
He listed off these principles one at a time, and I'm thinking, every time you say principle, dude, I look at you, you have no principles. You're a Democrat.
He's a gigolo. He married into his money. He was a... he faked it. Oh, no, let's not go to Vietnam.
Gigolo?
Yeah.
Gigolo?
Gigolo, whatever. He married Teresa Kynes. Yeah,
the
Harry.
Juggalos.
Yes, Mr. Teresa Hines Carey.
Yeah, I mean, that's the craziest of things. But there was one thing that stood out, and this was so absolutely hypocritical that it drove me insane. I came out of my chair and was screaming at the television. Derek, you got track four. This is John Kerry talking about the two-state solution is the best way, and if Israel wants to do a one-state solution, here's the problem with it. Go ahead and play that, Derek.
But here is a fundamental reality. If the choice is one state, Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. It cannot be both. And it won't ever really be at peace.
And here's
Israelis
Netanyahu's
do not
response.
Need to be lectured about the importance of peace by foreign leaders. Israel's hand has been extended in peace to its neighbors from day one, from its very first day. We pray for peace. We've worked for it every day since then. And thousands of Israeli families made the ultimate sacrifice to defend our country and advance peace.
All right, a lot of people don't know the whole history of Israel. I'm going to tell you this. If you want to learn that history and not be bored to death going through all the minute details, there's a book called The Hajj. H-A-J,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard
yeah.
that? It's forgot the author's name. He's a big author, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did a very experienced in the Middle East and lifestyles of the Middle East. And it's the story of an Arab guy who he would be a Palestinian, I guess, but at that time, there never was Palestine.
Yeah.
You know, folks, there was never a state of Palestine. So they want to make it sound like the Jews stole.
Judea, Samaria.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's the story of this Arab, and he's a Muslim, of course. And the story of a Jewish guy. And the Jews were buying up land down there. It's not like they came in and took it. They were buying up land and doing things to make this desert. It had been desert for 1,000 years. Well, they did a simple thing like install a well and put a pump in. And all of a sudden, you got pretty decent farmland, you know.
Yep.
But the Arabs had never done it for whatever thousands of years. The Jews came in, bought the land fair and square. They didn't probably pay a big price for it because it was desert. But they made the improvements, and when you listen, when you read through, and it's a great story because it does give you a lot of insight into the thought process of Muslim families. You know, me against my brother and I against our cousin, my brother and I and my cousin against the next tribe, our tribes against the infidel. You know what I mean? And it's very bizarre, but when you read it, you'll finally understand why that culture is so. What's the word I'm looking for? So antagonistic, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so I would firmly tell everybody, if you get a chance, you want a good book to read, you're going on vacation, get The Hajj, H-A-J, The Hajj. And I can't remember the author. Derek, maybe you can look that up for me and we'll tell you who the author is. But it's a great book. It's a thick book. And it gives you the thought processes of the Jew and this Arab during that time of conflict. And it's really just amazing because it gives you the lifestyles of both of them. Just an absolute awesome thing. But anyways, I'm getting deep into the weeds here, aren't I?
Well, you know, you've got this whole thing you've got the left who's been complaining that Trump and his associates are anti-Semitic. And you got Bibi Netanyahu saying, I just can't wait till Trump is in office and Obama is gone. I mean, you've got Obama and Kerry and group, you know, he's got the whole Muslim Brotherhood in his administration. And he dares call Trump and his camp anti-Semitic when here they are attacking the Jews right now. I mean, the Western Wall, that whole thing was saying that the Western Wall was not part and parcel of Israel. You know, would it be part of the Palestinian Authority because Israel took that section back in the 67 war. And if we recall, the 67 war was launched when all the Arab countries surrounding Israel
attacked.
Tried
yeah.
to wipe Israel into the sea and miraculously, and I stress that miraculously, failed miserably at that. And instead, Israel managed to retake some of its historical holdings, such as Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And hopefully Trump will move our embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem to recognize the Jewish capital.
Yeah,
there's a lot of stuff going on here.
Yeah, what's amazing is the fact that John Kerry, throughout that hour and 10-minute speech or 13-minute speech, whatever it was, put all the blame on Israel because they're building some settlements, right, in what they call occupied territory. That's occupied territory. It was won fair and square, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well,
it was won fair and square. You people attacked
regained.
Us. We took it, and it was ours. Well, yeah, because you go back 4,000 or 5,000 years, and that was...
There you go. That's why they're called Jews. They came from Judea.
Yes.
I mean...
Yeah, and they find the coins and a whole nine yards.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a claim there, and it's a legitimate claim, be it what it is. But it's not – the biggest problems in the Middle East has got nothing to do with the Jewish settlements. You've got ISIS, you've got Al-Qaeda, you've got Iran, you've got Iraq. You've got a lot bigger problems, right,
yeah,
than you do a few Jewish settlements. And he wants to blame the entire conflagration of the Middle East upon the Jewish state and the few settlements that they're building and the problems they have with Hamas – and Hezbollah, you know, and let's be honest, who's lobbing missiles all the time?
Well, and that's the thing I was just thinking about. You have the Palestinian terrorists, Hamas, whatever, and they come in and they kill people on short notice. Just, you know, I mean, they don't.
Yeah,
they're running tunnels
underneath.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, when it came time for Israel to retaliate, they had the famous knock-knock bombs. They would drop the knock-knock and everybody would say, hey, let's get out of the building now. And then the building would blow up. I mean, they telephoned, by the way, you need to get out of there. We're about to blow that up.
We're going to blow it up.
Yeah, I mean, that's civilized war to me. I mean,
that is very civil. And the Russians have done it.
Yeah.
And we've done it. And the Jews are doing it. You're giving them advance notice. How much more civilized can you be? But you certainly don't get that from Islamic terrorists who are out killing civilians with no warning whatsoever. They're not putting out a notice that I'm going to bomb Times Square. They're just going in trying to bomb.
The biggest democracy in the Middle East, where if you want to say Muslims, are located, is Israel. That's the most democratic voice Muslims have in the Middle East, is in Israel. They can actually vote for members of the Knesset.
Yeah. I mean, and there are Arabic members
exactly. In
the Knesset,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So, you're not going to go to Saudi Arabia and find a Jew inside,
or Christian.
Or in their parliament, right?
Or a
Christian.
Woman. Or a
right?
woman.
You're not even going to find it. In fact, you can't even be Jewish and go to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Right? It's illegal. You're going to jail. Don't come here if you're a Jew. I mean, that's the craziest thing when it comes to dealing with Islam and from the Middle East. I mean, you can't build a church. Go and try to build a church in Saudi Arabia. You're going to jail, brud, and you might get whipping or maybe even had the head removed from your shoulders. Right? And yet we allow the Saudis to fund and finance all kind of mosque building all around the world, in Europe and here in America. It's just absolutely insane. Well, anyways, this...
I'm sorry. I was just zoning out here thinking, it's only like 20 more days, 19 more days. Life gets...
Call it 20 days, dude. We're almost at 20 and a half. We're there. We're getting close. Well, it's getting condemnation not only from Republicans, of course, that he did this, but even Democrats. Chuck Schumer and a lot of Democrats are up in arms about this, about his stance on Israel. And even a lot of our allies, like the UK. Derek, you got track 5 ready? Theresa May, the Prime Minister of the UK, is also now, even though the Brits voted for that resolution, she's now against what Kerry's saying because she's like me. You can't put all the blame for the Middle East on Israel. Go ahead and play that track.
A tense moment in the so-called special relationship, the UK issuing a rare rebuke to the United States over its recent comments about Israel. Secretary of State John Kerry this week branded the current government the most right-wing in Israel's history and warned it was jeopardizing hopes of peace by building settlements in the occupied West Bank and East Jerusalem. Britain distancing itself from the remarks Friday, saying the settlements were far from the only problem in the conflict. A spokesperson for Prime Minister Theresa May also said it was inappropriate to attack the composition of an ally's democratically elected government. May's reaction came as a surprise to the US, which responded by saying Kerry's speech was in line with Britain's own policy. Indeed, the UK this week voted for the UN Security Council resolution demanding an end to Israeli settlement building, which the US decided not to veto. Some believe May is trying to align herself more closely with President-elect Donald Trump, who she's so far struggled to build relations with. Trump is promising a starkly different approach to Obama when he takes control next month.
All right, so around the world, our allies here at home, the Democrats and Republicans, all finding some common ground on saying, Obama, what are you doing with three weeks left? Instead of just being quietly minding your own business and pack your bags and do some fun things, this guy is out literally trying to destroy the world, don't you think?
It reminds me of a sleeper agent who's been exposed and he's got to do the most damage possible before he loses any levers of power whatsoever. If it isn't a plot for him to foment some situation where he gets to stay in power, then until our military takes him out, I'd love to see that. Did I mention I'd love to see that?
you're asking for a coup, Ed. It's 2017. Yeah. Really, you're asking for a coup. Well, it bothers me.
Then it's just some spoiled brat.
That was what I was going to say.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly. Losing the game and knocks all the pieces over because if I can't win, I'm knocking everything all over.
The good party's going home.
Yes, my girl didn't win. My legacy is going to get disrupted, and so I'm going to push all the pieces around and make it hard for you to continue. And that's really what's happening.
Yep.
And thank God, you know, Putin's seeing through this. Now, make no mind.
Putin and Bibi.
You know, these guys are, especially when we're talking Putin, he's no saint. Don't think that I'm up his nose or anything else. Listen, he's a dangerous man. He's a very dangerous man. What bothers me is the fact that these liberals, these progressives, these anti-Trumpers are all like, oh, Trump doesn't know what he's talking about. He's Putin's puppet. Let me assure you, if Donald Trump managed to beat the Democratic National Committee, the Clinton family, the Clinton crime syndicate, George Soros, the establishment GOP, the mainstream media. He beat all of them. Took them on and beat all of them. Don't tell me he doesn't know how to handle Putin.
Yep.
He's handling Putin the right way. You give him a little respect, but you show the strength. And I think Putin knows what he's going to be dealing with. He respects strength, and he knows Donald Trump is going to come in and do that.
If you think about it, Donald Trump actually has nice things to say about Obama, of all things. So if he has nice things to say about Putin also, that doesn't really show what's, you know, churning around inside him regards to that other person.
Right.
It just shows an outward civility.
Yeah. And you know what? This is what they accuse him of, not being civil. Mm-hmm. And yet here he is. You know, he's only bad-mouthing Barack when Barack does these insane actions in these final 3 weeks here. You know, and if you want...
Final 3 weeks. Say that again.
Final 3 weeks.
Oh, man.
I mean, let's be honest. The two major superpowers on the planet, the two nuclear superpowers on the planet, you know, things were ratcheting up with Hillary coming in, right? It's kind of still a mystery to me that why they hated each other. She sold the Russians half our uranium supply. Why does she hate Putin so much? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
All right, folks, well, let me give a quick reminder. On Wednesday, January 11th, from 5 to 9 p.m. at Frenchie's, it's next door to Sidetrack Bar and Grill, Warriors and Caregivers United are raising money. So see if you can get out there. It's at East Cross and River Street in Ypsilanti. It's put on by the VVA Chapter 310. So if you can find a way to get to that and raise a little money for our vets, let's get out and do that. Until then, we'll see you next year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Go to thedailydrift.com, and we'll see you next week. Take care.